Hi, I'm Steve Dace. So if you're looking for a summer worldview camp, this is the place to be. July 16th through the 20th, we're going to encourage your kids to become the next generation of cultural leaders. We've got pastors like Douglas Wilson, filmmakers, cultural critics and commentators like myself and Matt Walsh from The Daily Wire. Sign up at calledconference.ninja. Again, Moscow, Idaho, July 16th through the 20th, calledconference.ninja.
So continuing our way through the case for classical Christian education, we come to chapter 6, which is entitled The Centrality of Worship. And I want to begin by noting that the late political activist Andrew Breitbart once said that politics is downstream from culture, which is very true. And one of the reasons why conservative political activists have been so routinely outmaneuvered is they've been fighting a political battle when the battle was actually settled at the cultural level upstream. So politics is downstream from culture. But the word culture comes from the Latin word cultus, which refers to worship. So I would want to argue that politics is downstream from culture, and culture is downstream from faith, religion, your ultimate worldview, the way you worship. So the way you worship will cause your culture to take shape in a particular way, and that will eventually affect the politics. So the writer Henry Van Til once said that culture is religion externalized. And I think that that's a very fair assessment or summary. Religion externalizes into culture, and then one aspect of that would be politics. Now, that means if you have a Christian worldview, you see mankind as not fundamentally as homo sapien, but fundamentally as homo adorans, worshiping man. It's not your intelligence or reason that defines you. It's the fact that we are in relationship to God. So mankind is fundamentally a worshiping creature. And that means that if he's fallen and sinful, he's going to be worshiping the wrong thing. And if he worships the wrong thing, then everything else downstream from that is going to be out of kilter. If he is forgiven, set up, cleansed, put back together, and is oriented in the right way to God the Father through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, then everything else downstream from that is going to be put back together. And that means, since education is the task of fitting children to know how to live as adults, this issue of worship has to be part of it, because you can't train children up to be the kind of adults they ought to be without reference to worship. In this chapter, I say this: a Christian worldview is not a matter of having an opinion about everything, with all those opinions being interconnected or, as some might say, entangled. Our lives are supposed to go together a certain way. Parents who have labored over assembling a child's Christmas present, one with multiple parts, know that it is not sufficient to throw all the parts together into a box and call it a tricycle. Neither is it adequate to throw all our opinions into a box and call it a worldview. That it has to assemble, it has to cohere, it has to connect. And in order for it to connect, there has to be worship. Worship is the connector. Worship is the thing that makes everything integrate. Worship is the thing that makes it all come together the way it ought to. There's no way to read, there's no way to study science, there's no way to study biology. There's no way really to study math. There's no way to read history properly without being overwhelmed with a sense of awe at the God who oversees all of this, the God who created a world in which that level of math works, or the staggering levels of complexity embedded into the wisdom of creatures, from a spider building a web to a mole rat doing its thing, to a giraffe giving birth. all of these things are just flummoxing when you think about them. And if you've understood them correctly, they ought to run in a straight line from you learning this thing to adoration, to worship. I say this a little bit later. It is unfortunate indeed that rat and mole had a greater sense of the numinous in the presence of the god Pan than many modern evangelicals do in the presence of the god of Abraham. And I'm referring, of course, to the wind in the willows and that great religious experience that they have in the presence of the god Pan. That sense of the numinous is what is missing from the thoughts and outlook and practice of many professing evangelical Christians. We are approaching many of these things in far too pedestrian a way. I say later, true worship is incarnational. If we want to understand how transcendence and immanence intersect, we have to come to understand these things in Christ. And you can't understand, I'm interjecting this, you can't understand these things in Christ without dealing with who he is. I resume, we can't understand the incarnation of Christ by sitting in neat rows in a classroom doing push-ups with the brain. So if it's all cerebral, if it's all just here's the material and the students are taught to regurgitate, and the only real question they ask is, will that be on the test? Because they're just angling for grade. They just want a good grade so their parents will leave them alone, or so they can get into a good school so they can do, you know, you want to graduate with a certain GPA so you can get in the school you want, so you can graduate from it with a GPA, so you can get into the grad school you want, so you can get a job, so that you can buy a house, so that you can have kids who need to get the GPA that they want. Somebody's going to say, what are we here for? What's this all about? We want to learn how to live as human beings, and that can't be done without reference to who we are in relationship to God. This issue of worship also helps schools hold together. I've long said that you're not going to be able to have a school that inculcates a Christian biblical worldview unless a significant fraction of the people in that school are going to heaven every week in worship. So if you have a church that proclaims the whole counsel of God, if you ascend into the heavenly places and you worship God in Christ and you give him the glory and honor that is his due, then the school that you're running in the week, in between the Lord's days, is a school that's going to make good sense. I say this, institutions worthy of respect and honor derive their respectability from that which is ultimately sacred. The Bible teaches us that creaturely holiness is derivative, and that we are to be holy because he is holy. That's in 1 Peter 1:16. All sanctity in Israel derived from the Holy of Holies. So you had holiness at the center, the Holy of Holies at the center, and then the holy place. And then as it extended out, eventually you had the Holy Land. But holiness radiated out from the center. Resuming the quote, this is why respect for any human institution depends upon what that society considers to be ultimately holy. And this is why all attempts at educational reformation will fail apart from reformation of worship. If we will not honor at the center, then why on earth would we care to honor the periphery? If there is no Holy of Holies at the center, there is no Holy Land. If there is no sacred center, you're not going to have a third grade kid respecting his mom in the parking lot when she's dropping him off. Everything coheres in Christ. And if it's not cohering in Christ, and it won't cohere in Christ, if we're not worshiping God through Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit.
I'm a 2009 graduate of New St. Andrews College, and I'm a commercial property manager.
Three kids at Logos, one at home still, and I do flowers on the side out of our house. When you have these little people that you're responsible to shepherd, you realize I need to know what I'm talking about because they need to have a firm foundation and they need deep roots so that they don't get blown over and that they're ready to stand up for the truth.
I am a programmer. The language aspect of NSA is a fantastic preparation for any sort of programming.
I'm a real estate broker here in town. I think absolutely the perfect education for being in sales of really any kind.
I actually put it to a lot of great use when I was working in the political realm.
I am a pastor in Central Coast, California. Whatever vocation you take, it'll make you take that seriously because you're seeing it through the lens of the sovereignty and lordship of Christ.
For more information, visit us online at nsa.edu.